Next, we talk about recruitment. Recruitment is a process of finding proper candidates and inducing them to apply for the jobs in the organization. Recruitment is like telling, announcing to the world that we have vacancies. Recruitment is like telling the world that we have got vacancies. You announce through various communication channels, word of mouth, manpower consultants. Okay, you can talk to internal customers within the company, and through the word of mouth, people respond. When they respond, we get applications. And once the application comes, we take the applications and we sift them. We start segregating them. On what basis? On the basis of the job specifications. There's a job spec sheet which tells us that this is the type of person that we want. And all of us know that the specification is not followed when application is being done for a job. So we have hopes, aspirations. There must be a mention saying that 5 years experience, mechanical engineer from a reputed institute. Okay, I may have only 3 years. The company is good. I'm giving it a shot. So I just apply for it. The other side is there'll be a person with 10 years of experience. He's not a degree holder. He's a diploma. He said, let me also apply. So all different applications come to us. It's like throwing a net in the sea and all fish come. I may want only one particular fish, a trout or a tuna, but every fish comes to me, right? So when it comes, what do? I have baskets in which I keep the ship fish which I want. Okay. Similarly, what happens? I take those applications which are in line with my job spec sheet. I put them on one side, and the ones which are not in line with my application, I put them on the other side. And the one which are inverted commas reject, I don't throw them out. I keep them for future needs. The ones which I've already got applied, which I already have with me, as segregated in line with my specification, I will take them and start sending call letters to them. And when I send a call letter to them with the application blank, which is basically a format in which you write down your name, your photograph, etc. After I do that, the recruitment process is over. One should know the difference between recruitment and selection. In a recruitment process, there are 4 steps. First is announce to the world that there are vacancies. Second step, the world responds. Third step is you get the applications and you segregate them, shortlist them. And the fourth one is you send them call letters. The moment you send the call letters, the recruitment process is over. After that, whatever actions take place are coming under selection process. Selection process is a elimination round. We eliminate from the various people whom we have called, right? So coming back to this, recruitment is done through advertisements, word of mouth, publicity, and with the help of placement agencies. The success of any recruitment depends upon the policies and the procedures followed by the company while recruiting in the staff members. Very important thing is, I mentioned about the importance of policy. Policies are important to give us guidelines as to whom we should recruit, what is the criteria we should look for, what attitudes we look for. Now, these guidelines are not available in many organizations, unfortunately. There are some assumptions on which we recruit, we select people. One of the assumptions, which is a very deplorable, if I can use the word, assumption is that, is this person producing results in this present job? Has he been a champion in producing results? Has he been extremely good? Then hire him. At any cost. This is one of the criterion followed in many companies. Now, a super salesman from a competitor is hired by me, but he may not be in line with the philosophy and the vision and the values of my company. Now, we have to have multiple factors which we need to freeze in a policy document. And our company will have a policy of recruiting only ABCD. They should have these type of attitudes. They should have these type of things. This is an important sacred document which will prevent wrong entries to the organization. According to me, this is the most crucial process which if tackled very well, will prevent any type of dissonance later on after they have joined. We come across many resources who say, I thought the job was this, but it turned out to be like this, I'm leaving. Now, who made him think that the job was this? Probably the communication of the interviewer. The interviewer has not been told to take a guideline. The interviewer has not been instructed that this is the only thing you have to talk about, which is expected from the top management. Since he has not been told, he says something which he thinks is well-intentioned, but it is captured differently. One of the things that I experience when I'm sitting in the interview panel is, people talk rosy things about their organization and the job they're offering. In turn, the candidate also talks about rosy things that he or she has done and about all their so-called success stories. And both these parties barter all the nice goody-goody things. The organization representative, the interviewer, rarely talks about what the company doesn't stand for. He doesn't talk about reality, in other words. The candidate, on the other hand, is also not encouraged to talk about reality. And we try to stumble upon each other on reality rather than actually express it. My call, my take on this is very simple. I tell my colleagues who call me for sitting in the interview panel, I tell them, look, talk about the reality about what your company is. They find it shocking. If I speak about the reality of my company, my dear friends, will my credibility increase with you or not? If you're a prospective employee, my answer is yes. I'm walking my talk. I'm being very realistic. My reputation builds up. People start talking about me well. If I give you bunch of lies, sorry to use the term, and if you give me bunch of lies, what happens? Liars thrive. The point is, many a time we are not recruiting the and selecting the right person because of this particular gap. I see this as a very glaring gap. Now, my contention while I'm doing this topic is, ensure that you are very clear about whom you want. Ensure that you're taking the right person. Now, people come and tell me, you don't get good people today. I said, who told you good people are not there? Are you good? Do you know what's a good person? What is good? Define good to me. What are you looking for? Then they'll rattle out a number of things. I want a person with so much experience, so much this thing, this. Fair enough. What qualities you're looking for? What sort of sustenance you're looking for? What's your organization philosophy and value system? Are they in line with what you're walking and talking? Now, if everybody does it from top to bottom, I find no reason why attrition has to happen. Large IT majors, a couple of them whose names I'm not mentioning, have cut down attrition because they've got very formidable reputation. Because people work with them not because of the pay package, but because of their walking the talk, the integrity with which they conduct themselves. They say something and they live by that. Are we doing that? Because this is an entry point where this needs to be carefully understood and articulated. Right? Take it further, friends. Recruitment can happen by two sources, internal as well as external sources, as I mentioned earlier. Whenever there is a job vacancy, it can be filled up by giving a promotion to the present employee of the company. Internal promotion. It is based on the promotion policy followed by the company which they have to fix. In certain cases, the same cadre, the same level staff member is deputed to the job. It is called as a transfer. Deputed means he is sent to a job. Now, transfer need not be geographically away. Going from Mumbai to, say, Ahmedabad is not a transfer. Need not be the only transfer. I can transfer you from one area of work into the same area of work in a different location within the company itself in the same city. So transfer, do not take transfer as something which is you have to leave the country or leave the city and go somewhere else. Not need not be, right? So he is deputed to a job, he is given the particular job for a purpose. That's a transfer, to handle some issue, to handle some KRA, some goal, and come back. Now it is also based on the transfer policy of the company. Again, transfer policy should also be articulated. Transfer is usually taken by many people with mixed feelings. If I get transferred to my dream job, I love it. In most cases, people are so complacent with their existing status quo that transfer they try to resist. To see that they are overcoming the resistance, what do organizations do? They try to give a transfer come promotion. Transfer come promotion. What does it mean? It means that I'm not only transferring you to a new assignment, but I'm also promoting you in the organization ladder upstairs, upwards. Now that's a feel good. Only one word of caution is the promotion really a promotion, or is it what is called as a wet promotion? For the sake of designating you, I'll redesignate you from a deputy manager to a manager. Companies do this. And then you go as a manager in a different city perhaps. As a promotion come transfer, you feel great about yourself. When you start working, you realize you're doing the same job of a deputy manager with a new name. According to me, these titles do not mean a thing. You call me a manager, you call me a deputy manager, but what functions I'm doing is important. Now, this is a thing which organizations tend to overlook perhaps, and in turn even employees tend to overlook. People fight for designations rather than job profiles and action to be taken at the work. Instead of growth-based working, people look for designations. Designations are not incorrect or wrong. Don't take a wrong signal from me. The point I'm putting across is, it's important for us to know whether the designation, the promotion come transfer is truly a promotion come transfer. Okay? So, taking it further, advantages, when I take people from internal sources, what happens? It improves the morale among the staff members. We've taken somebody from inside, so it's so nice. That means we are encouraging inner homegrown talent. Employee is happy because of promotion. It attracts efficient staff members. It motivates people. Training expenses are reduced. Promoted employees inspire other staff members to acquire a thorough knowledge of this job. Internally, there's a lot of positive energy. Okay. Now, what are the problems in the internal recruitment? The problem is lack of fresh new ideas. Same culture, same thinking. He goes from one function to another function, so there may be certain amount of stagnation. Fresh new ideas may not come in. Then what happens is an underqualified person may be appointed to the higher post. I won't use the word underqualified. I would say that there may be 4 or 5 contenders for a certain position. Then when we do an internal recruitment selection, we may take a person A. A, B, C, D may be at the same level. When A gets promoted above B, C and D, there's bound to be certain amount of jealousies and certain amount of distancing and certain amount of drop in efficiency when they work together. This happens in many FMCG companies where a frontline salesman, one of them is promoted to become the area manager. And then that area manager suddenly finds his so-called friendship with his ex-colleagues, I'm using the word inverted commas, gets strained. Not only is effectiveness of a manager goes down, at the same time he starts getting into lots of other issues on a personal front with these guys. Now, this is one of the problems that you have internal source recruitment. If there is a guarantee of promotion to be internal staff member, they may not work efficiently. If the organization has got an internal promotion policy, for sure, then people will say, anyway, I'm going to get promoted, so why work hard? So they may be a little laid back. There won't be that fierce competitive spirit. Okay? Sources of recruitment. Where do we have recruitments? It could be internal, as I told you, which could be promotions or transfers, or it could be external sources, which is a huge list. I could lease people on a time-bound basis. I could have field trips wherein I go along and look for people from different sources. Jobbers and contractors for the very operational people. Unsolicited applications, which are just walk-ins. People just drop in an application, being given to understand there are vacancies and stuff like that. Waiting lists. These are the different the list of external things that are given here, right? Now we talk about recruitment by external sources. What are the advantages? It gives me a choice. It gives me a choice to select a wide range of people who are coming from outside. People with new cultural thinking. People who may challenge my status quo. People who are willing to add value to me. So these are the various things that can happen, right? So the company recruits a person out of a large numbers of applications. The plus and the minus points of each and every candidate is taken into consideration and the best candidate is selected. So we go through a very detailed selection process by looking at a person who can fit into our culture, right? Then it's a new outlook. A new approach of the recruited employee may solve some existing problem which will give benefits to the company, and he comes with a wide experience which is other than the experience of our own people, and the recruited new employee has experience in various fields. By this, the company gets a benefit as well. However, disadvantages. The existing staff may have a grudge against newly recruited employee. They may not cooperate with him. He's an outsider. Common. Lack of cooperation as a result. Recruitment of a person from outside is expensive. It involves time, money in terms of recruiting expenses and other things. And so it is expensive. And after doing all that, it's possible that the person may not even join. No show. It's possible. If the new person fails to adjust himself to the working conditions of the company, it causes irritation and difference of opinions between the recruited person and the existing staff members, right? Now, this is a selection process which we are discussing now, which is, like I told you, first we receive and screen the applications. In this flowchart, they have shown it from the time we receive and screen the applications. which I have discussed as a part of recruiting, right? Then we, now recruitment starts from here, initial interview to know if the candidate is physically and mentally fit for the job. Blank applications are given, what I call it as application blank, in a specified format to get the answers for the queries from the candidates. It is to standardize information about the candidate. And then it acts as an urgent device. Then all these points, this is the way it flows. Some list has been given here. We check for references. Two references usually. One is functional reference. How good you have been in the job? Are you a competent person? Have you proven yourself? Second is about your personal set, character, your moral stance, trustworthiness, etc. So two references on an average is expected. And then we have the test and the interview that follows as a consequence. We do the final selection, medical examination of the person in terms of his body, mind, etc. And we place the person, and then he goes through what is called as an orientation, providing the information regarding the organization, which is basically organization enculturation. I induct the person into the organization to make him familiar with the culture of the organization, right? And then we have tests which we are conducting, which is very popular these days. See, at the time of interview, you may say many things. You may claim many successes. But when I take you in the company, I just want to know whether you have the temperament to take up the job. So in the recent past, about 15, 20, 30 years, what has happened is the psychological test has become a part of the selection process. So clinically created, clinical psychologists, they create the test. And by the study of the human mind and how they operate and all that, because what is going on in my brain within me is something which may not always manifest outside. Do I have a temperament to handle huge amount of stress when the job requires a stress management? So now these things can be tested only through certain methods. So we go through what are called as aptitude tests in broad category, in which we talk about the ability to know my intelligence, personality, situation, etc. And then also the temperament. So there are psychological testing, psychometric testing, which measures the psychological capacity to do something, right? We also have aptitude tests, whether I really have the skills and the competency to do this job. And most importantly, my proficiency test, which is about the temperament, interest, etc. So these tests are performed depending upon what is required for the particular job profile. If, for example, you are in the airlines industry as a crew member flying, you will agree with me that that particular job is very stressful because all different types of passengers come. Handling them with a smile, giving them the service could be very stressful. And the person, the air hostesses and the air stewards, the stewards who are there, they are expected to have a good amount of stress, the ability to take stress. Now, to know that at the time of interview, I need to check whether the person has got a capacity to take up stress. So we conduct what is called as a stress test by asking certain types of questions which will create a stress in that person. And then if the person passes the test, we say, yes, this person can take up the test when he is flying 33,000 feet above sea level, right? Advantages of conducting tests is that it helps the employer to find whether a candidate is fit for the job. Not always, of course, but more or less it does. It helps in checking candidate's claims to respect of his qualification, experience, etc. If I say that I know to run a particular program, a programming language, do you really know it? Okay, show it to me in action. If I claim that I can run this particular specialized machinery, okay, go and do a test there. Let me see whether you really know it. Okay. Tests avoid scope for the personal preferences of a particular candidate. Tests is the proof of the pudding. Okay. If there are two or three candidates who claim that we know this thing, then we put all of them into action. The actions speak louder than the words. And so tests ensure that the personal preferences are kept on the side and actual action is merited, is given the merit, right? Standards of job performance can be established with the help of these tests, and labor turnover can be reduced. That means attrition can be reduced because we take a person who knows the job. In many IT organizations, I've seen people are taken at a very lower level, at the operation level, assuming that he knows a particular type of a task or a particular type of a language. And the time is too short because the project is in the back burner. After taking, the person doesn't know it and there's a big problem. But quickly they try to give a training because he's already there with us. And when you give a training to that person, it takes time. And you may realize that that person doesn't have an aptitude to take that test also, that training. Then you're left with some a liability, not an asset. Okay? See, that is... Now the process of interview, some flowchart is given here. We review the background information, preparation of questions in the area in which the applicant is interested, putting the applicant at ease, drawing out the best applicant, concluding the interview. Now this is just one type of flowchart that's given. Tests are done in different formats. I could do it informally, I could have a structured interview, I could have an unstructured interview. All that we'll be covering in a subject called human resources management, where all these detailing are given. Okay? Types of interview could be direct, indirect interview, pattern interview, stress interview, systematic in-depth interview, board or panel interview, group interview. Direct interview means I'm asking you questions straight away and you're giving answers. At an operational level, direct interview is very common. Can you do this thing? You say I can't or I can. There are questions for which direct answers are expected, and that's a direct interview. Straight. Indirect interview is usually for understanding behavioral aspect of a person. If I want to ask you whether you'll sit for late hours beyond the office time because the work demands it, I don't ask you this question, will you sit late beyond 5:30? You'll say yes. So I have to go roundabout and ask you questions. Indirect interviews usually are informal in nature. I have to loosen you up, talk about the weather, talk about other things, and then gradually from the pattern of your answering, I come to know whether the person has got the capacity and the willingness to sit late if the need arises. Indirect interviewing. If I want to discover something about you which can't be honestly told by you, then I need to go for indirect interview, right? Pattern interview means there is a certain way in which I do the interview in a certain pattern. It will start off with asking personal questions, then I'll go to professional questions, then I may come back to again personal. So certain pattern which it will follow. Stress interview, like I told you, is about determining whether you have the capacity to take up stress. Okay? Systematic in-depth interview will be for people who are going in for a specialized job. A person who is applying for an R&D job, research and development job in a pharmaceutical industry, a PhD or a M.Pharm, would be going through a systematic in-depth about his area of specialization. So obviously this interview is done by the domain expert, not by the HR people. So they'll ask a lot of questions. A very knowledgeable person, more knowledgeable than the prospective candidate, will be conducting a systematic in-depth interview. Right? Then board or panel interview is very common. The entire group of about say 3 or 4 or 5 people sit across and you are sitting there and they'll ask you questions. There'll be people from different levels. The CEO himself may be there. You may have the HR person sitting there. The department which you're joining, that HOD and the supervisor may be sitting there. There may be one or two observers, maybe outsiders also, who are a part of the panel. And they'll be asking questions, shooting it, you know, back and forth, and then you answer. And then the selection will take place accordingly. Group interview is done for people when there is a mass recruitment. Like in call centers, BPOs have noticed, I want to take something like, you know, somebody like say 100 people have to take in a week. They have to join by weekend. So I call them by numbers, and the level of job is a bit of an operation level job. So I just ask a few questions, about 8 or 10 of them sitting. Can you do this? Can you do this? I ask this question. And some of them, and a few questions here and there, the basic requirement when it is to be determined, I go for a group interview. So I find that out of the 10 people who come in, maybe 5 or 6 youngsters are pretty good in it. I said, come on, join group interview. So when we talk about operation level, where the skills requirement is very minimal, group interview saves a lot of time. I don't have to go through detailing of asking each of them one by one to face me, right? Promotion may be defined as a placement of an employee to a better job which results in extending prestige, salary, powers, duties, responsibilities. It requires more knowledge and skills to perform that job. A promotion is usually awarded to a person who is showing a promise to handle a higher responsibility, an attitude of promise. A person who is taking up responsibility willingly and is really willing to do something higher. It is seen by the management, right? The basis of promotion may be competence and seniority. And seniority should be the basis for promotion for a job which does not require much competence. Two things are discussed. Should merit give you promotion or should seniority give promotion? Both are equally important. Youngsters who have got merit, brilliant youngsters, when they are given a promotion, they find it difficult to handle people. Only experience gives you the capacity to handle people, but they may not have competence or merit. Now both of them have to mix and match in a proper proportion, right? Competence should be the basis of the job for which requires professional skills. I would say that seniority and competence both are equally important. We must mix and match. Transfer. Whenever a vacancy is to be filled up internally, it is filled up by a transfer of the same cadre, same level person in the organization. In many cases, transfers motivate the people because they may not be enjoying the work in the earlier position. I don't totally subscribe to this. I would always say transfer. The moment you say transfer, they conjure up a certain image. Oh my God, I'm going to go to a different place or a different location altogether. So transfers have to be managed properly by proper communication by the concerned people. So if that is done, the transfer are properly accepted. Talk about the merits. Talk about the merits in the way the person understands, not what you think is correct. So when you start connecting with the person and make him realize the transfer, then the transfers are usually accepted. Okay? Job rotation. Whenever a vacancy is to be filled up internally, it can also be filled up by a job rotation. Example, a person from a production management function can go to the planning department. Now, job rotation, I wanted to just say something. Shifting yourself from one function to another function, a different vertical, going from marketing to production to marketing is not job rotation. Within the same production functions, there are a number of other activities we do. Production planning and control, the hardcore production function, the shop floor. Materials may be a part of it. Now, when you are doing a rotation within these activities, that is called as job rotation. So that's what we are discussing here. When I shift from one, say, production to marketing, it's a career shift itself. I'm going to a totally new area of working. So don't confuse this with that. Job rotation happens within the same domain area. A finance department has got accounts functions, tax functions, it's got working capital functions also. So when you're rotated from one to the other within the finance department, that's job rotation. The purpose of job rotation is to give you the overall functioning of the department pretty well, so that job rotation within the department takes you to higher levels of managerial working. So in a job rotation, the employees get refreshed and motivated because he or she is able to increase his competence and to contribute better because of his experience, so that his ideas are fresh and innovative. Very long sentence. Okay. Now what really happens in a job rotation is that I start getting multiple skills in the same area. Like in the finance department, let's say from the tax, I'm put into tax, I learned the skills of tax also, which integrates with accounts, which integrates further to another promotion I may, and another rotation I may get into, let us say, working capital area. Now when I do this, I get the overall experience of the entire department, not only one area of the department, right? Job rotation also improves multiple skills in the organization. And with that, I end this session, my dear friends. I'm sure it's been useful for you. Staffing, I could conclude by telling you, is a most crucial function. Do not neglect staffing. I firmly believe that if the staffing of an organization is properly taken care of, in line with the vision, the mission, the strategy, the objectives and the goals of the company, constantly if you remind yourself that this is what we stand for and we are very realistic about our goals, then I think the staffing will never go wrong. Business cycles may come and go, but at the end of it, it's people who remain constant. Organizations which give credence to this particular statement that people remain constant usually are seen to survive even the worst of the storms of business. Thank you very much.